This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, this is a bit of a good news, bad news sort of story. The bad news is that air pollution is bad enough in Hertfordshire to have an impact on everyone's health, and particularly on the health of the young. The good news is that pupils in 31 schools in Hertfordshire will benefit from the installation of air purifiers in their schools. Not only that, but in partnership with Schools Air Quality Monitoring for Health and Education, or SAMI as it's known, they will also receive air quality monitors through which they can learn about and help raise awareness of air quality issues, as well as helping generate an unparalleled data set which will help researchers to better understand schools' indoor air quality. I spoke to Matt Clark, Programme Manager for Air Quality at Hertfordshire County Council, to find out more, and I started by asking him whether, before this project, whether they'd ever measured the air quality in Hertfordshire schools.
We hadn't, in all honesty. However, we are very aware of other research and projects going on around the country. And by attending conferences and keeping in contact with academic partners, we found out about a project up in Bradford where they had measured the air quality and carried out interventions. And so we were aware of the potential scope of how we can practically get involved in a school setting to make a difference and create cleaner air for all of those children and the wider school setting.
So do you know what it is that contributes to poor air quality in schools?
It's a really good question. I think, one, it's worth doing some definitions work at this point. So when I'm talking about air quality, I'm typically talking about pollutants that are created through a product of combustion. So we have lots of nitrogen dioxides in the air for which there are national limit levels for, typically produced by transport. That's a big emitter. But then we have particulates, which are very, very fine particles in the air, which penetrate deep into the lungs and through into the bloodstream. Now, they are produced by a wider set of sources, which include anything from domestic burning to industry, transport, agriculture, and also quite a lot is brought in on the wind from outside of our local patch, whether that's the regional aspect or indeed international aspect from across on the continent. So there's that element of the air quality picture. And in a school setting, we'd expect to have pollution coming in from the external setting, as well as the potential for some production within the classroom. So we're all bringing in the dirt that we've tramped through into the internal setting, and then that's getting suspended in the air. We'll be bringing in ventilation from outside into the classroom. So it's these kind of pollutants. There are also a different set of pollutants which often get talked about, and they might be pathogens or allergens, things that, you know, those communicable disease aspects or things that you actually might have a known condition for. So hay fever and pollen, or COVID, measles, flu, norovirus, all of these things which might be in the air, and they make up that wider biological component of air pollutants.
So there's a whole bunch of really quite undesirable stuff that could be in the air there. And how does this affect pupils and teachers? Obviously, those pathogens, we can imagine how those might affect them. But how about the other things like the pollutants from outside?
It's a really good question, and something that I feel typically the average person wouldn't necessarily be completely aware of. Air pollution is actually the biggest environmental stressor on our health nationally and internationally. It impacts every single organ of the body in every one of us. And this is because they get through into the bloodstream and the blood carries it everywhere else. So everywhere the blood goes, those air pollutants can get. So it actually has impacts as wide-reaching as respiratory conditions, through to causing 1 in 10 lung cancers, right the way through to skin ageing, or even sperm quality. Everywhere you can think, there is an impact from air pollution.
Well, that's really quite sobering as well, isn't it? So you've got together with the organisation Schools Air Quality Monitoring for Health and Education to provide 31 air purifiers for schools across Hertfordshire. How have you chosen the schools that will benefit from these?
So we've spent quite a lot of work looking at the data and the evidence. It's really, really important for everything that we do that we're evidence driven. And the work we've done with the SAMI team and ourselves at Hertfordshire County Council, we've looked at where background levels of particulate pollution are highest across the county. We have DEFRA mapping data for that, which our internal team have graphically shown us on a map, which allows us to overlay schools' locations to see which schools are in the areas which, for no fault of their own, have higher pollution levels than maybe other areas in the county. So that was one layer of evidence.
So that particulate pollution typically would come from burning things, like you said before, from transport or from central heating, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's quite a complex picture, actually, the particulates composition. Roughly 50% of the fine particulates that we're talking about, things called PM2.5s, about half of those are coming in from other settings. And then we have the local contribution as well. And yes, you're quite right, there'll be a transport element, there'll be a domestic element and a commercial industrial element. An interesting statistic over the last couple of years is that actually domestic wood burning has become the biggest source of fine particulate pollution in the UK. So yeah, these particles have wide-ranging sources. The purifiers that we've put into the classrooms have HEPA filters in them, so they will remove a significant amount of the PM2.5s and smaller, and certainly larger components as well, from the air. So we know that the indicator we were looking at to prioritise is something that the device we're utilising will actively act upon. The other data layer that we've explored was looking at deprivation. So we have a scoring index that's used nationally for deprivation, and we overlaid that data because the evidence is that, I mentioned earlier, we're all impacted by air pollution exposure, but actually some are impacted more than others. There are those that are more at risk to health impact from exposure, and this includes young children. And the younger the child, the more potential impact, because the body is developing and these pollutants are stopping or interfering with that developmental process. So it's important that we've targeted primary schools for that reason. And then another more at-risk group, which the evidence in the scientific literature points to, is that those who live in more deprived settings not only, unfortunately, are often exposed to more pollution, but actually that pollution has a greater health impact. So we've made sure that all of the data sets that we have and all the scientific evidence has driven where we look first to intervene.
And how will you know, as you said, you've actually carefully chosen places where the kind of things that the filters will definitely be removing is the biggest problem. But how will you know whether the air purifiers are actually working?
Really good question. And this is where the SAMI project has come in to the rescue, I suppose. It's a citizen science project, and they've been trying to get air quality monitors into schools across the UK. And they had a target of looking to try and achieve 2,000 schools, I think. And we were able to partner with them for them to provide to every classroom in every school, because we provided an air purifier to every classroom within 31 schools to date. In each of those classrooms, there is a SAMI air quality monitor. This data allows us to see the impact of the purifiers. And we didn't just go all guns blazing and charge into this project. As I mentioned before, we had the Bradford project for us to call upon and to speak with those professionals in that setting. We then did a small two-school trial of our own here in Hertfordshire, and we did some monitoring in those schools, and we found roughly a 50% reduction in particulate matter within those classrooms when the air purifiers were turned on. That level of impact is something that correlated very, very nicely with the Bradford study, where they had done this in 10 schools. So we are confident in the impact, and that the impact actually is quite large. So I mentioned earlier, about 50% of the particulate matter that might be present around us in our locality is coming from further afield. This intervention, therefore, would be like removing every local source of particulate matter within your locality, which is something that obviously cannot be achieved. So although we always look for the upstream, remove the source first where we can, we know that sometimes it's not practicable to do that. And this is an intervention that helps us address the symptom rather than back at the cause.
And will the pupils be able to learn from the monitoring data?
Absolutely. And not only does the SAMI project provide the monitors, there's a back office app that runs alongside this. So the schools can use the app, teachers will have access, they can create accounts for the children to access as well and look at the data. And the data it collects isn't just on particulates, which is the thing we are particularly involved with from the council end. It will also provide data on carbon dioxide, which is a really good indicator of, have we got enough ventilation in this space? It also has a whole raft of activities built into the package that staff and pupils could utilise. Some of them would go above and beyond the curriculum, but some are very targeted to deliver elements of the national curriculum, so that it's not necessarily an additional thing that needs to be looked at in schools. With a little bit of thought, schools could potentially bring this in to deliver existing parts of the curriculum and promote a bit of awareness and engagement around the air quality and ventilation agenda.
Well, that is certainly good to hear, because as you say, it is a largely under-recognised problem. Now, this is lovely for the 31 schools that are benefiting from these air purifiers. Do you have any plans to roll this out over any more schools?
I'm very pleased to say that we are currently in the position where we managed to deliver the project for the 31 schools slightly under budget, and we've put in a very strong business case to keep hold of that underspend to help us roll out to further schools. Just this last few days, we've made contact with about another 45 schools. Again, we went back to our priority list. We've emailed out to schools and we've had a really fantastic response rate to date. I think last count, just a few hours ago, we had about 27 schools who had shown an expression of interest, which is really fantastic, and will take the total number of children that will be receiving cleaner air day in, day out in their school setting to over 15,000 by the time we roll out to these additional schools, which we're hoping to do by the end of September this year.
Now, it's fantastic that you're able to improve the air quality in these schools that are benefiting. But of course, as you say, actually, really what we need to do is to improve the air quality in the area generally for these children at home, for these children as they're walking to school. Is there anything being done to try and address the source of pollution, as you say, in these particularly vulnerable areas?
There is a huge amount of work that's going on around the County Council, as well as in the districts and boroughs around Hertfordshire. We talk very closely with our district and borough partners, who are very aware of this project and will be talking to schools in their own patches. There's a whole statutory regime around creating better air, and that involves creating action plans where any area might exceed those limit levels in legislation. Over the last 6 months, we have worked with 5 of the districts and boroughs to review the action plans to understand what interventions might be required in these particular areas to resolve challenges that exist. We're also looking at embarking on a review of the county's air quality strategy, and again, in discussion with our district and borough partners to enable us to work together to help produce a review document which keeps us relevant and up to date with the challenges of today. For instance, domestic wood burning. But we're also looking at creating cycling and walking infrastructure. There are work streams which are looking at how do we smooth out traffic. That could be through redesign of junctions, by diverting traffic. It could be by looking to utilise the best available traffic signalling software. All of these things are on the table. Unlike some other pollutants, where there might be a threshold level below which no health impact, air pollutants aren't like that. There is an impact right down to zero. So although there might be legislative limits, if we, from a public health perspective, can do better and improve upon those limits and go further, we'll be having a really positive impact on our population's health.
Matt Clark, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that.
Thank you ever so much.
There is, of course, lots that you can do to help reduce air pollution in your home and your neighbourhood. Matt mentioned not burning wood. And to hear from a world expert on the reasons why you should think twice before ordering a load of wood to burn this winter, head to the podcast page of mix926.com and search for Lighting the Fire. Then there's reducing your car use. Even cutting out just one car journey in 10 would reduce air pollution from cars by about 10%. And unless your car is a newer one that automatically cuts out when stopped, by not idling your car when it's stationary. And when it comes to taking air pollution out of the air, it's not just air purifiers that have an effect. It's also been shown that planting trees and other greenery absorbs some atmospheric pollution and improves air quality. Now, it's always good to hear from you. Are you concerned about air pollution? Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.